What does it mean to you to have a true friend? I mean, really think about that for just a second. You know, what does it mean for you to be a true friend to someone? So, you know, when you think about those two things, I want to ask you this question. How would you define a true friend? Now, when I've talked to folks about that on numerous occasions throughout life, you'll get many different things. I've had people who have become miffed at what they thought was a friend because of how circumstances and situations turned out. I've had folks who have had those true friends and they really talked about the substance of what that friendship was. So as you ponder those thoughts for just a moment, we're going to ask you to grab your Bible and come on back in just a few minutes. We're going to be looking at life and friendship out of the book of Proverbs chapter 27. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you are joining us today. As I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at life and friendship, which comes out of the book of Proverbs chapter 27. So if you've got your Bible, please turn over there. We're actually going to begin reading at verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 27. It says this, it says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by heartily counsel. Do not forsake your own friends, nor your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in a day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Take the garment of him who is surety for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he is surety for a seductress." Verse 14. "He who blesses his friends with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for yet another opportunity by which to gather around your word, Lord, that we might have this opportunity to learn what you would have us to learn. Father, I pray that as we take these moments together, that you will speak to our hearts, help us to clear our hearts and minds, that we might be receptive to your will in our lives. Lord, I pray right now that you will not only speak to us, that you will give us the courage to move in the direction in which you show us. And Lord, as always, I ask that you would use me as your messenger for these moments, that you would truly be high and lifted up, and that you might draw all men unto you. So Father, thank you for the time. May you bless it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, today as we're looking at our text, the writer shares about life and about friendship. And in verses 1 and 2, there's some advice that is given about boasting. If you look with me at verse 1, it says, it tells us, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You know, so many people talk about tomorrow, and all, and in the Bible it always says that the Lord says we need to live in the day. That's something that some people really, really struggle with. I know that in my life, particularly there was an era in my life that I never really had a chance to enjoy today because I was always too busy trying to plan for tomorrow. And then by the time tomorrow came, I was busy planning, you know, for the next day. So, you know, the Lord is telling us, I've given you these moments in time. I haven't promised you anything more than the moments that I've given you. So what is it about today? Notice what that verse says. It says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Okay. Now, he also goes on in verse 2 and he says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. You know, when you get around somebody who is, and for lack of being able to call it a better word, somewhat arrogant, somewhat prideful, and all they ever want to do is talk about themselves, those are not people that you really want to be around or in the presence of. You know, those are the type of people that you sit back and say, well, that person right there is a legend in their own mind, and I really don't want to have anything to do with them because all they ever seem to want to do is talk about them. It's not about general conversation. It's not about what you're doing. And think about that. How does that make you feel when somebody is interested in you? You know, when you have that opportunity and somebody says, hey, how did your day go? You know, how was work today? Or how are things going with something big that's going on in your life? And they're genuinely interested and want to know about what's taking place. It makes you feel good. It shows that they're concerned about you. It shows that they're interested in you. And those are the type of people that you really want to, you know, to be around. You know, you shouldn't praise yourself because all of a sudden what happens is you begin to get puffed up with pride, you know. And the Lord says a whole lot about pride in His Word. He said, pride goeth before a fall. Pride, excuse me, can create many disastrous steps for you in this life. So what is the opposite of pride? The opposite of pride is humility. You know how can having a humble and a thoughtful spirit help you to develop close friendships? Well, we just talked about that. It's one of those things where you're showing interest in that other person, and it's not all about you. It's not, look what I've done, look what I'm doing. And it does so much when you begin to show interest in other people's lives, and that's how they open up to you, and that's how you begin to grow those friendships. Now, in life and friendship, it is important to have some mature social skills. The reason that you have to have those is because I think every one of us have known somebody who is a little bit socially awkward. They really don't have a lot of social skills. And there are sometimes people that have them and hide them, but you can walk into a room and everybody, you know, you might be that person everybody knows. I had an experience here a couple weeks ago where was actually had gone back to Lynchburg to catch a baseball game at Liberty University, and I was in the bookstore, and this young lady was checking us out, and she was very personable. And very interested in us. And of course, you know, alumni get a discount. So Jana showed the alumni card. She goes, oh, you guys are alumni. When did you graduate? So Jana told him her graduation year. I told her mine. And she said, my mom actually graduated and gave the year of her graduation. And I said, well, I was here when your mom was here. She goes, yeah, my mom's name was Vanjie. And as soon as she said that, I knew who her mother was. Everybody on campus knew Vanjie. That's just plain and simple. Why? Because Vanjie was that very outgoing person. She was had very mature social skills, and she genuinely loved everybody. And when I said everybody knew her, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I meant that in a very good way. She was that type of person that left a mark on your life, not a scar. She left a mark on your life. And here it is 30 some years later, and I can still remember this lady's mother in just the brief opportunities in passing because of the way that she was. She was a friend to everyone. So it's important for us to have some mature social skills, you know, as we go forward as adults in life. Now, the writer also says some things about wrath and anger and jealousy. Let's look at verse 4 of our text of Proverbs chapter 27. It says this. It says, wrath is cruel. That's what it says about wrath. It says, and anger, you know, a torrent. But who is able to stand before jealousy? So those things are not very good things that are listed in the Word of God about, you know, wrath, anger, and jealousy. Those are just not good character qualities that you want to have. Those are not things that you should see within true friendships that you have. If you have wrath and anger and jealousy and you exhibit that, then people don't want to be around you. People are not going to want to be your friend when it comes down to those qualities that they see in you of anger, wrath, and jealousy. Plain and simple. You know that. You've experienced it before, and you're like, man, if that's what life is going to be like with having this person as a friend, I would just rather move on or go somewhere else. Okay? So when you think about these poor social traits, the things that we want to prevent, think about how they prevent you from developing close friendships. Now remember what I said, when you know somebody who is like that, those are not people that you want to be around. And if you're exhibiting those qualities, do you think that people are going to want to be around you and be your friend and build that relationship and hang out with you? Now, I also want you to think about what it's like to have a true friend. Because verse 5 goes back and it talks about this. Verse 5 says this, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Now, when I get to that verse, one of the things that I'm thinking of is that you got to, let's say there's two people and they're supposedly really good friends, and one of them is doing something that concerns the other person. And what happens is that the one friend just remains silent about that. They won't say anything to their supposed friend. Now, I'll tell you right now, that is not a good thing to do. Sometimes they just go along with it. But when you are doing something wrong, you need those friends in your life who will openly rebuke you. You've probably heard the expression before. Maybe you've even used it in the life of one of your friends where you've gone to them and you said, listen, I just want to tell you something. You are really messing up right here, or you are not doing this correct, or you have just completely treated that person in an awful way. And you know what? You may not like what I'm getting ready to tell you, but I'm going to tell you this because I am your friend and because I love you. Maybe you've done that in somebody's life, or maybe somebody has done that in your life. See, true friendship transcends all boundaries. You can tell somebody when they're messing up. You can tell them the hard things if they are your true friend. Folks, it is far better to openly rebuke that friend. Now, when I say openly, I don't mean in a public forum, but I mean in a one-on-one situation. You can sit back and say, hey, you just messed up. Now, I know a friend of mine one day that back several years ago, there were three of us together, and we were having lunch in a Mexican restaurant, and the waiter did not know a whole lot of English, and he was struggling taking our order. So one of my friends that was sitting there exhibited some less than stellar social skills, let's just put it that way. And what happened was you could just see the hurt on this waiter's face. He was trying the best that he could. And, you know, my friend sat there and said, oh, I just don't want anything. And then I handed him the menu back. And, of course, when he walked away, I looked at him and said, man, you were just a jerk to that waiter. And he looked at me and he goes, well, I didn't think I was a jerk to that waiter. And, of course, our other friend that was sitting there, I said, I called him by name and said, don't you think he was a jerk to that waiter? And he was just sitting there eating chips going, mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that he really didn't see or understand that he had been terrible to this guy. But when the waiter came back, my friend apologized to him. See, that is the open rebuke that we are talking about. He knew that he was wrong. When he stopped and he thought about it, he knew that he was wrong. And I could do that with my friend because he was my friend. I could point that out to him. So that's what true friendship can do. And that's what true friendship does. Now, there are ways, and think about it, in what ways are the wounds of a friend better than kisses of an enemy. Let me carry you to verse 6 for just a minute, because verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And that example that I just gave you is one of those. My friend felt a little wounded, and I think he was a little offended to start with that I pointed out the error of his way. But when he was honest with himself, when he evaluated that situation, he knew and understood that he was in error. And the thing that I take my hat off to my friend for doing was he corrected that error. When that waiter came back, he said, look, I am so sorry that I offended you, you know, in the way that I said. I was frustrated, and I want to apologize to you for that. But the wounds of a friend are far better than the kisses of an enemy. I don't really need to expand on that, because I think everybody who has any age on them that is listening to this broadcast today, if you've been through life any, you understand what that means. That the wounds of a friend are far better than the kisses of an enemy. You've experienced it. Maybe you have been the one who has had to produce a wound in a friend. Maybe you are the one who has had a wound produced by a friend. But true friendship says, I love you, and because I love you, I don't want you to walk in this way of error. I don't want to allow you to get away with something that the Lord would not approve of. And see, that's why, you know, people all the time say, I'm not my brother's keeper. Well, as born-again believers, we are our brother's keeper. We are to look after one another. And so many times what we do is we're like, well, I just don't want to say anything to that person. I'm afraid that I'm going to offend them. You know, I'm afraid they won't be my friend anymore. Well, folks, let me tell you this. If they are a true friend, they will not walk away from you. There's a difference between true friendship. And what you're going to find is that, you know, the older you get, the harder it is to find a true friend that will walk with you in all circumstances and situations in life. And we'll cover a little bit more about that in just a moment. But it is important to have a friend who will give you earnest counsel. And I use that biblical word. Go to verse 9. Verse 9 says, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Okay? Earnest counsel. You know, it is important to have a friend who will tell you what is true and right. You know, so many times, you know, what we're doing is we may go to a friend and say, well, hey, you know, I've got this situation, or I've got this issue. Tell me what you think. Now, oftentimes what a person's coming to you for is they really want you to agree with what they think. You know, so that gives them a little bit more credence to go forward when it's wrong. But you have got to be that person who gives earnest or wise counsel to sit back and say, well, you know what? Since you asked my opinion in this situation, let me tell you, I don't think you should do A, B, or C, and here's why. Now, it better be because it's not out of jealousy or envy that you have, but a true friend will know and understand that what you're giving them this earnest counsel because you really truly care for them. Now, they may not like it. They may cross their arms, and they may huff and puff and blow, and they might even say something to you like, well, you just don't ever want me to get ahead. Now, remember what we said. Let me backpedal for just a minute, because the wounds of a friend are far better than the kisses of an enemy. But you need to be wise in your counsel, whether you are giving it or whether you are receiving it. It needs to line up with God's word, and there can't be any selfish motives for the reasons why you're giving the counsel that you are giving. And then as a friend, you need to understand that if you have a true friend, when you go and ask them, they should give you a true and honest account and a true and honest opinion of what is taking place and what's going on. You know, if I want to go do something wrong, I can always find somebody to go out and ask that's going to agree with me. As a friend, you know, sometimes disagreeing with your friend and disagreeing with what they're doing is the best thing for them. So we need to understand that. And I hope and pray that that's the way it is with the friendships that you have in your life right now. And let me go on to say this. And verse 10 kind of hits it as well. Let me read verse 10. Verse 10 says, "Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother that is far away." Now, folks, let me tell you one of the most hurtful things in life when it comes down to friendship, and I will guarantee you that every one of you have experienced this, is that when you have had a friend that has walked away from you in a time of trouble, a friend that you thought that you could count on, that you thought that you could turn to, that you thought would be there, but turned out not to be there. And that is something that has cut you very, very deeply. So I want to go ahead and just say it straight up and outright. Never, ever forsake a friend in a time of trouble, because that's when they need you the most. That's when they need somebody to walk through that trouble with them, not to turn away, not to walk away from them. And folks, I'll also tell you that is one of the marks of what a true friendship is really built on. The friendships that will last for this lifetime and will transcend into all eternity. And now you know why I say that if you go through life and at the end of your life you find out that you have a couple of true friends, then you are a very blessed person. Because oftentimes in the middle of trouble, when you need that friend the most, people will turn and they will walk away from you. And that's a tragedy. Do not be that person. I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you to be a friend that truly loves at all times. Now, over in the book of Proverbs, it talks about the difference between a companion and a true friend. Now, let me take you to that verse. You don't have to turn there, but it's Proverbs 18, verse 24, tells us this. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Now, I don't have to give you this quiz, but I'm going to ask you, who is that friend that sticks closer than a brother? That is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's even closer than a brother. He understands. He knows. He's going to give you wise counsel. Now, I think there's a very interesting thing that's pointed out in Proverbs 18:24 as well. That says a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Now, if you read that in the ESV translation, it says a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Notice that a man of many companions may come to ruin. What is the difference between a friend and a companion? You know, a companion is somebody who will be there. Maybe it'll be somebody who's there when the going's good, when it's not. But a friend, a true friend, is one who will walk that road with you, the road of tears, the road of sorrow, the road that you are walking on no matter what it is. That friend is not only going to be behind you, that friend at times, you know, will walk beside you, and at times that true friend might even walk out in front of you through the midst of your troubled situation. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. When was a time that a true friend was there for you in the middle of a crisis? Now, you probably didn't have to really think hard about that. That person's face just popped into your mind. That name just popped into your mind, because that meant a lot to you, that in the midst of a crisis in your life, there was that maybe just one friend who was there, who was going to walk turbulent path or walk through that crisis with you. They may not have known a whole lot, and at times they may not have even said a lot, but just them being there made all of the difference in the world. Think about the qualities of that person that walked through that crisis with you. You know, now I ask you this, you know, would you have what it takes to walk through a crisis such as that with somebody else, or maybe that person who walked through it with you? Now, as we do our Bible studies, I've always asked us to look for certain things. And one of the things I've asked us to look for is an attitude to change. So as an attitude to change, why should you not rise early and bless your neighbor with a loud voice. Now, I know this sounds funny to some people, but the verse 14 of our text, which is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14 says this. It says, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Now, what I want to do is I want to go over and give you that one as well in the ESV, because I love the way that this particular passage reads in the ESV. So down in verse 14, what it says, it reads like this. It reads, whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. Now, I know that a lot of you out there may not be morning people. Some of you are. Yes, you know, some people are morning people. Some people are night people. I will confess to you, I am not a morning person. I am kind of cranky. I'm kind of grouchy in the morning. You know, the coffee's got to kick in. But I'm that late night person, man. I'm ready to go midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning. But at 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm not doing so well. Let me read that verse to you again. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. So in other words, be very careful. You know what the moods of your friends are as well. So just think about that as an attitude to change. Now, in order to have good friends, why is it that you must show yourself to be friendly? Now, and I've talked with folks before about this. There are some people that are just hard to get to know. You try your best. I mean, maybe you're that outgoing person. Maybe you're the person who doesn't mind going up to a total stranger and talking to them. Just a little while ago, I mentioned Vangie from back in my college days. Vangie didn't care who you were, anything. She cared everything about who you were. It didn't matter what you looked like, where you came from. She was going to go up and talk to you. And for some people, that scares some people because they're like, I just don't know how to take that. But for most people, you know, she was the type of person that would initiate a conversation. But you know what? You have to return conversation as well. So in order to have good friends, you must show yourself to be friendly. There's probably people in your life that you've gone and said, hey, I tried my best to get to know that person, but all I ever got was one word answers. And, you know, it was very clear that they weren't, you know, opening themselves up to any conversation or whatever. I guarantee you, every one of us have experienced that before, and we've probably come away with the thought, that person's just hard to get to know. Well, if they're hard to get to know, then it's going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to carry that relationship to be a true friendship. So if you're one of those people and you sit back and say, well, I just don't have any friends, let me challenge you with this question. Are you showing yourself to be friendly? Are you participating in conversation? Are you communicating with dialogue? Or is the person that's outgoing, somebody that's tried to come up to you, is it all monologue? Are they doing all the talking? You've got to insert yourself into that situation as well. So remember, you know, you must show yourself to be friendly if you want to have friends. And there's probably 85 to 90% of the time when I've talked to somebody who says, I don't have any friends, that's been the issue. They haven't been willing to participate when somebody opens themselves up to them on a friendship level. So if that's you today, and you're sitting back saying, you know, I need some friends, and you're evaluating, the Holy Spirit's telling you, you know, you've got to put yourself out there a little bit, at least a little bit to get things started. So how can you improve in, you know, the way that you're treating people who are opening themselves up to you? How can you improve on showing yourself to be friendly that you might have some more friends or be able to create in your life some true friends? Now, I love this passage on so many levels. Verse 17 of our text tells us this. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. I love that thing. I've often heard that stated, you know, when I was coming through Bible college, that iron sharpens iron. You know, you be with those who are godly people. You pastors, be with other pastors, because iron sharpens iron. It makes you better. The same is true when it comes down to friendship. So as iron sharpens iron, you know, what effect do strong friends have on one another? Now, particularly, that's why it's very careful that you choose your friends wisely. As a believer, the people that are your true friends should be other believers. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. It will help you to become a better Christian. You will help your friend to become a better Christian. There's accountability that's built in a friendship like that. So you can see where the importance comes in of having true godly friends, because they're going to help you to be a better Christian person. You know, there's expressions that we've heard all of our lives, you know. Well, if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, then it must be a duck. You know, you're labeled by the friends that you keep. You know, what is their reputation? You know, because if you're hanging around with a group that's got a bad reputation, by default, you are going to have a bad reputation. You know, the people who are who don't want to be in that sort of a crowd are not going to wind up being your friends, because you're not going to travel in the same circle of friends. Choose your friends wisely. Choose those that are godly believers. Choose those that will tell you the truth even when it's going to hurt. And be there to be not only sharpened by them, but to be a sharpener for them. Man, what a great passage, and it's relevant on so many levels. Okay, now as true friends sharpen one another, as you hang around together, then that's just going to only help your walk with Christ, which so many people struggle with on a daily basis. Okay, so I want to challenge you: if you don't have godly friends, find some. You know, put yourself out there. I promise you, they will come to you. I promise you that God will send you those type friends in your life. Okay? Now, if a person continually pulls you down, if a person continually just, you know, cuts you asunder verbally or in other ways, is he or she really a true friend? I want you to think about that. You know, no, most of the time pride is being exhibited in their life, and they're trying to push you down so that they will look better. True friends don't do that. True friends edify. True friends build up. True friends will walk with you, and true friends will be there when the going gets tough. Okay? Now, there's a verse I'm going to read to you. It's John chapter 15, verse 13. Now, according to this verse, who should be our best friend? John chapter 15 and verse 13 tells us this. It says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now, it's often been said, you know, who do you know that would lay down their life for you? And yeah, outside of like parent-child relationships, there's not many people. I'm not saying that there's not some. Obviously, they would. I'm grateful for our law enforcement officers who do a job every day, who truly are willing to lay down their lives for our lives. You know, the things that the regular citizens are running away from, law enforcement are running to protect life, limb, and property. So I'm grateful and I'm thankful for them. So outside of situations like that, who is willing to die for you? Folks, let me tell you, Jesus Christ was willing to lay down his life. He was willing to be in the grave for 3 days and come out on the third day, resurrected, conquering sin, conquering death, conquering every sin, past, present, and future. Who else would do that for you? Do you love somebody enough that you're willing to give up your life for them? Well, let me tell you right now, Jesus Christ loved you that much. So who should be your best friend? He should be. Remember that verse once again. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now, Is that you? Would people look at you and would people be able to say that about you? Okay. Now, let me ask you this. In what ways does our Wednesday Bible study help you to sharpen your relationship with Christ? I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you as we take the time to go through His Word, that He's sharpening you so that you'll be exactly what it is that Christ wants you to be as you go through this life. And then as you're being sharpened, let me ask this question. How are you helping to sharpen somebody else? How are we helping each other to become better, to become better Christians and to walk in the ways that God would have for us to walk? So that's our challenge. What is it that we need to pray for each other about? We need to pray today and going forward that God will give each of us a true friend. Notice what I said. A true friend, at least one true friend who will walk with us through the situations, who will sharpen us, who is willing to tell us the hard things in life, that are willing for the right reasons to confront us when we're going down the wrong path. Do you have a friend like that in your life? I hope and trust that you can say that you do. But if you don't, then I want to encourage you to look for them. Now, let me tell you, that's going to be a very small circle. There's not going to be a lot of people that meet the criteria of what a true friend really, really is. So before we pray, let me just go ahead and ask you to remember the challenges of this week, to be a true friend, to give sound, earnest advice, godly, biblical advice, not just what you think, see, or feel personally. And even when it's something that you don't want to say, be willing to say that to that person. Okay? Those are your challenges for this week. But also our Bible readings for this week are going to be Proverbs chapter 29 through Proverbs chapter 31. Once again, that's Proverbs chapter 29 through Proverbs chapter 31. And next week, we will discuss the blessing of a godly home out of the book of Proverbs chapter 31, verses 23 through 31. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, first of all, I am thankful that in my life, I can say that I have a few true friends. Lord, those that are willing to tell me the tough things when it comes about it. Lord, I'm thankful that they know that we are such friends, that they feel like they can, no matter what, even if I don't like what it is that they have to say, even if I may disagree with what they have to say, they know that our friendship is still going to be intact. I pray for each and every person, Father, in the sound of my voice, that you will provide at least a true friend for them that will be able to walk with them through the good times and through the bad times as well. Lord, give us true godly friends that will help draw us closer to you and help us walk the path of godliness each and every day of our life. Lord, I pray that we will be an encouragement to somebody this week. May we go to those friends, the true ones that we feel like we have. May we edify them and build them up. And Lord, just even thank them that they're part of our life and such an important part of our life in every aspect. Lord, may we cling to them. But Lord, most of all, may we realize that you are not only our Savior, but our friend that sticks closer than even a friend or a brother. And may we rely upon guidance from you as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us for our Wednesday Bible study. As always, we ask if you have an opportunity, come on down and join us at Central Baptist Church. This coming Sunday is Mother's Day. We want to be sure to say a happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. Guys and gals, be sure that you honor mom this coming Sunday. Not only this coming Sunday, but every day, but especially this Sunday, as we thank mom for being so special and taking care of us and helping to create who we are. If you got a chance, come join us. 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina is where Central Baptist Church is located. Our services start at 10:45. I hope and trust I'll see you this coming Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week.